I must admit that when Rabbi Luban called me about the possibility of speaking here on this type of an occasion, I felt a little bit guilty that I really didn't do anything and take any initiative on my own by us in the yeshiva or the community. And I realized that this is something that's so truly appropriate. As you heard, appropriate because of a godel habdoira, a godel batoira, appropriate because of a special connection with the yeshiva, and I think maybe even mostly because of the affinity of the type of learning that he did and that the yeshiva does, that really could be, besides everything else, a chizuk for us. And chizuk is always welcome. I believe that Reb Shia, Zachorino Livrocha, stemmed from a chassidish background. In fact, I think Kol Yomov he wore a garter. That was the minig from his father's house. And we know that when a person has a certain mesira, a certain tradition, family tradition, in those days it went back probably generations, it's very difficult to change. May not even certain things, you may not even be supposed to change certain things. Maybe yes, whatever. But I believe that the defining experience in his life was his connection with Reb Baruch Be'er. He learned from Reb Elchanan, as you heard. That was like the beginning. You know, I want to say Aleph Beis, but that was the beginning of the learning process. But the harotza, the awe, the reverence, that sense of ever-presentness that he had, vos volker Rebbe gesagt. He looked at a Tosfos and he saw Reb Baruch Be'er. And any time anyone was tempted, whether it was him or someone else, and he was usually less tempted to say anything than someone else, we'll get back to that in a moment. What would Reb Baruch Be'er say? Left such an impact on his life. He lived the rest of his life with his Rebbe in front of him, at his side, maybe surrounded by his Rebbe. And I think that's something that really speaks about the nature of Mesira. Mesira from a Rebbe. What it means, the hashpah that it can have. It could take a person from a completely different background, coming from different traditions, different upbringing, but the power that the Rebbe has to connect him with the Teres Hashem. And it isn't the Rebbe per se. If it's the Rebbe's strength and his gadlus and his personality and his warmth and whatever it may be, but it's that he has the ability to connect me with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to connect me with the Teres Hashem, to show me, to set me on the Derech HaEmes. And that's really, I think, what Reb Shia Zachorino Livrocha was all about. Emes. One of the first things I remember, I do remember something, in fact, after a while starts coming back. One of the first things I remember hearing about, when I heard about this great Talmud Chochem, who at the time when I got to know him was learning in the Mir Yeshiva still. The Mir had a little more than a minyan by that time, but it wasn't very significant, certainly nothing like it is today. And I heard that he's a Rizik Talmud Chochem, a giant, but he's not a Machadish. He doesn't say Chidushim. Doesn't really say shiurim, it doesn't say chidushim, he learns. And I must admit that I was a little bit, not so interested. Like, well, you know, machadish, he says, he's creative, comes up with new ideas, he excites, he stimulates. I got to know him and I had Baruch Hashem for a long period of time, a number of years, a seder every Shabbos morning in Shev Shmaitzer with him. In fact, for about 25 years, my Shmaitzer was still left in his house. He always used to remind me that he owes me the Shmaitzer. I owe him the Shmaitzer, but that's besides the point. And I got to realize that it wasn't for lack of Koyach HaChidush. It wasn't for lack of creativity. It wasn't the inability to think out of the box. It was a commitment to truth. That's all this man cared about. Was steht da? Was meint das? Das ist was steht da? What does it say here? What does this mean? This is what it's saying? And the truth so permeated his existence. It was so the central and cardinal force in his thinking that he couldn't think out of the box. Because Rashi is a box. Tosfos is a box. The Gemara is a box. Everything is a box. There's information. And it has to fit. And it had to fit. And it had to make sense. Had to fit and make sense. And Chiddush, if it fit and it made sense, okay, Adarama. But that wasn't what it was about. And that wasn't even what would be Misameachim. The joy was not in that. Because the joy was in knowing that I connected with the emes of the Dvar Hashem. And to me that was such a, like, you know, in a sense, we had an appreciation for those things because we also heard similar talk and similar, not exact, but similar. And this idea of searching for emes, this idea of spending a lot of time searching for emes. And I think in his situation, Rabbi Luban didn't mention that, but didn't not mention it either. I think that slowly but surely, he plowed and plotted his way through Shas, because he did know all over. But it was always Be'iyun. It was slowly and it was Be'iyun. It was again and again and again until that sense of emes. The satisfaction came from the knowledge that I connected with the truth. The truth of the matter is that as I was sitting here, I remembered that I owe a great debt of Hakoras HaToiv to Reb Shia, Zecharinam Levrocha. Maybe I'll start with a less directly relevant story. But, you know, in the early days in the yeshiva, before it was established, numbers, branches, acceptance, to a certain extent, by the Welt. It was sort of a pariah in the yeshiva world. In the Chafetz Chaim yeshiva, nobody knew exactly what went on there, but there was something strange, you know, like, you know, they didn't even think we were out of our box because they thought we never got out of the first box. That's what they used to say. So it was like, not so simple. I remember my first year in the yeshiva, which goes back many more years than I care to think about right now. And there was some discussion about leaving. Whatever the circumstances, I don't want you to date it. And a few of the younger light in the koil, there were only a few of them at that time, I think four to be exact. And they were talking to me and telling me, you know, how important it is, the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva's Blatcha, the Rosh Yeshiva Shiburim. There's nothing like it in the world. You'll never find anything like it. You'll always miss it. You'll never become the kind of lamdan that you could become unless you learn like this, you know, and on and on and on and on. I was a young, skeptical, irreverent kid. And it was getting a bit too much. You know, sometimes, how did they say? The guy had notes on the side of his speech. So, you know, he sometimes it says, open your hands and raise your fists and do this and do that. You know, take off your glasses. And one note he said, raise your voice. Your point is very weak. You know, sometimes when people keep hammering the same thing over and over again, you know, you think that, yeah, it's a sign, it's raglaim ledova, that it's something's not real. They know it themselves, they got to keep convincing you. Anyway, so that summer, I went to visit the Rosh Yeshiva. I had to decide whether I was staying in the yeshiva or leaving. It was after my first year. And I asked him a very blunt, chutzpahdik, irreverent question, which to this day I'm very proud of. I said, are you the only one in the world who knows how to learn? Just like that, I said it. Are you the only one? I backed it up. I said, well, you know, because I asked that because you're younger light, the way they talk, it sounds like you're the only one who knows anything. So, like, what's going on? He Gedoy Le'olam of the previous generation was still alive at the time. And Baruch Hashem, he answered me, absolutely not. Because had he said yes, I wouldn't have been out of there. Ridiculous. Couldn't buy such a thing. He says, my father had a unique skill. He says, that was pedagogy. He knew how to teach. He knew how to give over a derech to Talmidim so that the Talmidim would be able to take these yesoidas and apply them on their own. He knew how to straighten out their thinking, maybe creep into their brains and see the way they were seeing things and sort of straighten it out. And those skills were something special. He was a uman. He was a professional in that. That's something I was able to tolerate. I said, okay, you know, Kenzine, I could hear that. At least could keep me going for a while. Okay, so I just stuck around. A couple years later, we were in Eretz Yisrael and don't want to scare anybody about the olden days, but weeks on one shear. No, weeks on one ktsois. No, weeks on one svora in the ktsois. Weeks. I mean, we did other things too. Probably ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner, slept a little bit, you know. Maybe we talked to learn in the afternoon, you know, the kiyas. But hours and hours and hours a day and arguing and fighting amongst ourselves with the Rosh Hashiva and back and forth and back. And the lushin and the innuendo and what about over here and what does it have to do and how does this fit and how does that make sense and what do you do with this and what do you do with that? It was unreal. The end of the day, I got it. I heard it. But I wasn't so sure. I said, maybe I'm fooling myself. Maybe I've been bamboozled. Maybe the power of persuasion influenced me. And I went once again to the Rosh Hashiva. Not that I'd been so respectful in the years in between, but I went again once again. I said, I got it. I understand it. How do I know what you're talking about? Like that I remember. How do I know that you hear? This is great. We got it. It makes sense, but it makes sense on such a level. It's so confusing. There's so many possibilities. And yeah, I could hear it. After a couple of weeks, you don't know what you're hearing. You can hear anything. You're hearing voices. Now, he could have done one of many things. He could have said, get out of the yeshiva right now. He never said that. For Haraya, a lot of people stuck around for a long time. He could have said, take my word for it. Someday when you grow up, you'll understand the wisdom of my ways. Then he wouldn't have to throw me out of the yeshiva. I would have been out the door. But he said, and he came up with this brilliant chiddush. He said, go speak to the gedolim. In Eretz Yisrael, there were a lot of gedolim, big talmidei chachamim. Go speak to them. I spoke to many of them, and I told them over this shir. The shir was one of them. And I must say that the response that I got from all of them was something that gave me a chizuk and gave me that sense of, hey, maybe we're doing something right after all. It was like almost like a life-altering moment. And Reb Shia was one who had such an appreciation. He was right down there in the depths. That's where he wanted to be. But with clarity and with reality and with, yes, that seems to be what the Ktzois is saying. And once he got to that point, it was irrelevant. He didn't even judge. It was a Chiddush too. He wasn't interested in the Chiddush. The Chiddush is not relevant. But that's the Pshat. That's the emes. And that's really what he was all about. It's all about achieving, accomplishing, reaching the emes. And the emes is that the emes of Torah is really what it's all about. What is truth? Chesomei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is emes. That's the only emes in this world. All emes emanates from the source of emes. This is it. And the Torah is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is his declaration of the truths of human and universal existence. And studying that in depth, with accuracy, and taking it seriously as if it was a personal letter written to me by none other, signed and notarized from the Borei Olam himself? That's it. I have everything. In fact, I think that might be the Pshat Chochom Odef Minovi. Chazal say a Chochom is even better than a Novi. What kind of comparison is there? A Novi predicts the future. The Chochom just tells us what to do, the Halacha and the learning and so forth. But through that learning, we know what to do. Through that learning, we know the future. We follow the Emes HaTorah. We follow the Chochom. The Chochma. We follow the Das Chachma Yisrael. And we got it. It's just like having a Novi. Even better than having a Novi. It's the Dvar Hashem. The Borei Olam is speaking to us. And this is really what it's all about. You know, the Gemara, famous. Reb Yirmiyah and Reb Zera were learning together. Gemara and Shabbos. And it seems Reb Yirmiyah jumped up. It was late to daven. That's what Rashi learns Pshat. I think Tosfos learns later. He's from Talmidei Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. He was potter from Tefillah. But Rashi says he was late. He jumped up to daven. Reb Zera says to Reb Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah, Olecha Omer HaKosuv, Meisir Ozle Mishmoya Toiro Gam Tefilosoi Toyevo. One who turns his ears away from listening to Torah, also his tefillah is abominable to Hashem. What's going on over here? And the Mefarshim learned that the Posuk of Mishlei says, it means that not only when he turns his ears away from Torah are his midas affected and his diktuk hadin and his hashkofas and his attitudes and everything. Gam tefilosoi, also tefillah, which one would think that shouldn't be affected. You know, you turn your heart to Hashem and you ask Him for what you want. Everything becomes a toeva to Hashem because of a breach of the connection with Emes. But what's the breach? What did he do? He was mechuyev to get up to daven mincha. It was late, whatever it was. I say, Reb Zera saw in Reb Yirmiyah with his infinite wisdom, in the godless of this great Yirmiyah, that some pgiyah, his connection to Torah, his connection to Emes, his involvement, his chashivos, was lacking something. And Reb Zera said, that something for you, this great giant that you are, is together meisirozu mishmaya Torah, and it's going to cause a downslide on all of your ruchnias. Everything you do is going to be negatively impacted, damt filosoi toyevo, all because of a breach in that connection to Emes. And I think that those of us that saw and that knew Reb Shia Grudzitsky, we saw that connection to the Torah. It was the Torah. That's all it was the Torah. In his last days, Mamish, I was there like a week before the Petira, that he could barely move. But when my son came to learn with him, they all of a sudden became alive. They all of a sudden had strength. They couldn't figure it out. The only time and day that he had the strength to move was when he came to learn with him. It's like, because that literally, kiheim chayenu ve'irach yomim. And that kiheim chayenu can only be felt to the maximum when the commitment is to Emes. It's not enough words. It's not enough ideas. It's not enough beautiful thoughts. It's not enough interesting pshotim. It's not enough brilliant chidushim. It's emes. What is the truth? What is the Dvar Hashem? Do I want to make up my version of the divine directive? Or do I want to hear and listen and understand what the Borei Olam himself wants to tell me? And he's talking to me. He's talking to me directly. And this is how he talks. I have to understand what he's saying. And I have to take advantage and grab and hold on for dear life to any tools that I'm given that can help me to understand the emes of Torah. But I believe that emes goes even further. And here I'm not quite sure what the Rosh Hashiva said. Again, that memory thing. And not quite sure what the Rabbeinu Yoina says, and not quite sure what I might be adding, but this very interesting Rabbeinu Yoina, I'm sure you've heard it, I maybe even mentioned it a little bit last night, this idea of Leimen al-Manas l'lameid and Leimen al-Manas l'asis. Leimen al-Manas l'lameid, maspikim biyod l'ilmud l'lameid, the Mishnah says. Leimen al-Manas l'asis? Maspikim biyodo lilmud lamid lishmo velasis. He has a much greater schus. And the Rabbeinu says, Chas v'sholom. He says, the loymer amanas lalamid. The guy who gives his life to teach, he's learning to teach. He doesn't care about doing mitzvahs. He doesn't care about lasis. Of course he cares about lasis. But the level of emes, he explains, is not as acute. He's not willing lahatriach esatzma yomim vishonim lahasik dovor koton to spend days and years just to get one dovor koton so that his actions and his thinking and his understanding should all be emes. It's true. The emes is the ultimate. To get the emes to me, that's lasis. If a person isn't willing to be matriach himself, I don't know if you're mechuyev to do it, but at least to be ready to do it. Yomim mishonim, lahasik dover koton, then not only will he not achieve the emes, everything that he does is lacking in emes. Because it's not an outgrowth. It didn't stem from a commitment to emes. It's of course, I want to do what's right. I want to listen to the mitzvah. I want to listen to Hashem. But this passion, this irrational, not rational, obsessive commitment with emes. Without that, what we do is not really true. What we do is not really emes. There's an interesting. Is there a chumash with Rashi here, maybe? There's an interesting Rashi at the end of Parshas Kisovo. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra Moshe, Kol Yisrael, Vayomer Aleihem, Atem Ra'isem, you saw everything. Miracles, wonders, things you saw, not shy. Shinui derech hateva. V'loy nosan Hashem lochem leiv lodas ve'inayim lirois v'oznayim lishmoya ad hayoim hazeh. Hashem didn't give you the heart to know, and the eyes to be able to see, and the ears to hear, until this day. So Rashi says, what was Vleinosan Hashem, Leiv Lodas? What was lacking in the Leiv Lodas? What didn't they know? What was the chesoron? So Rashi says, Lahakir eschaste HaKodesh Baruch Hu ulehidobek boy. To recognize the chasodim of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and to cling to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Dveikus Bashem. That they didn't realize ad hayoyim hazeh. They saw all these miracles, but they weren't capable of hakir es chaste HaKodesh Baruch Hu to the fullest, ulidobek boy, and to mamish connect with HaKodesh Baruch Hu, dveikus b'Hashem, really passionately engage in that relationship with Hashem, ad hayoyim hazeh, until this day. And it goes on to tell us what this day was. I want to ask you a question, just to begin with. HaKoros HaTov is not really that difficult. Klal Yisrael says to the Goyim, Hallu et Hashem kol Goyim, Shabachuhu kol ha'umim, ki govar aleinu chastoi. Zot Rashi, Hallu et Hashem kol Goyim, Goyim, you praise Hashem. Ve'af al pi she govar aleinu chastoi, Hallu et Hashem. Klal Yisrael tells the Goyim, you guys, Hashem does chesed to us. Praise Him for it. I'm your enemy. Well, I'm not interested in you. Well, I'm going to pray. Feistos, that a Tzelem Elikim, called Goyim, a Tzelem Elikim, not a Jew, has this sense of appreciation of the Chesed Hashem, that he will be capable, or it's realistic to talk to him, about telling him to say Hallel for the Chesed that's being done to the Klal Yisrael. Because he sees Chesed, it's such a beautiful thing, it's so amazing, ooh, wow. I have to thank Hashem for that, even though I have no shaykhus to it. We find similarly in the Medrash, one of the Pshotim in the Medrash Rabbah, in what Yaakov Avinu sent a delegation to Esav with Matonas, and this when Esav was coming with his army. So one Pshat in the Medrash is that he told him, Lohongarti, and I kibamakli, and the whole business says, I started with nothing. Look what Hashem did for me. V'atoh yisi l'shnei machanos. He says, I love Ungariti, Tzoynu Bokor, all the chesed Hashem. He's telling Esav all of the Ashgocha Protis, all of the chesed Hashem that Hashem did to him in order to mollify his hatred and save his life, and save his own life. Esav's going to hear, did chesed to Yaakov. What? That's exactly what I don't want to hear. It's my enemy, my mortal enemy. Esav's hatred created a choyt hateva, a halochohi, Chazal say. Esav seinei le'Yaakov. Tell him, Ashgocha Protis, seeing the chesed Hashem, even to my enemy, is so touching. It's so beautiful. It's so sensitive. It's so emotionally stimulating that it can have a hashpah even on an arch enemy. If that's the case, what is the problem over here? They couldn't be makir. They saw unbelievable nisim and flois. They couldn't be makir lechaste Hashem. All right, it was on a dachistical level, fashteitzach, but even so, like, how could, what was missing? So Rashi explains, what's arayim azeh? So Rashi says, you only came to this recognition this day. So Rashi explains what happened this day. So Rashi says like this, shomati, shoisa ayoyim shenosen Moshe Sefer HaTorah livnei Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu took his own personal Sefer Torah. There were 12 Sifrei Torah, each Shevet, but he gave his to Shevet Levi. Kemoshikos v'yitnei alakohanim b'nei Levi. Fine. Bo kol Yisrael lifnei Moshe v'omruloi. The Kol Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a taina. Moshe Rabbeinu, afonu abadu b'har Sinai, b'Sinai, v'kibalnu es ha-Torah, v'nosno lonu. We also stood at Har Sinai. The Torah was given to us. What are you giving it all to your Shevet? You're giving your own shevet a special shlita on the Torah because they're having your sefer Torah. The day will come when they're going to tell us, it wasn't given to you guys, only to Shevet Levi. Only to Shevet Levi. Moshe rejoiced at this taina. I understood today that you're dveikim and chfeitzim b'amokim, and this is the leiv lo das oinayim lirois lahakir eschaste HaKadosh Baruch Hu ulidovik bidrochov. This is what took place where Moshe Rabbeinu finally recognized who they are. And they finally, through his recognition, they came together, but that developed that ability to finally be makir lechaste Hashem. What's going on over here? First of all, the taina seems very, very bizarre. In the Torah, it says that the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the whole Klal Yisrael, they came to Har Sinai, and everybody heard, Anoichi v'lo yiyeh lecho, mipi ha'gvura. Yoy mochor, they're going to say, nah, it wasn't given to us, just to you. The taina is absurd. The taina is a product of some extra measure, some excessive, almost excessive measure. Seemingly, that's a better word. Excessive measure of caring about the Torah. What's going to be? What's going to be? Maybe someone will corrupt it. Maybe someone won't pay attention to the Parshas Yisroel and Parshas Veschanan, and they'll think, Moshe Rabbeinu, they have to say for Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, that must be the real ones, and the other ones are imposters, and I in the Torah state. Who knows? Who knows what could happen? Moshe Rabbeinu somach, when he saw the extent of caring that they had for Torah, he somach and he said, "Hayom hevanti shatem dveikim uchfeitzim." And now I know. Moshe Rabbeinu knew them for 40 years. He knew all the madregas, whatever the darkest dikah chesreinus they had, but such madregas. But he now, this showed me who you were. And this, it seems from Rashi, is what ad hayom hazeh the leiv lo das v'inayim liros. I guess the expression of that appreciation, the appreciation of Torah, maybe was inside, but until it was expressed so verbally, so formally, so openly, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw it was clearly expressed. Moshe Rabbeinu saw what they were thinking. Ah, Now I know. That's the time that you have Lev Lodas. Now you have the ability to be Makir V'chastei Hashem. It sounds like that it's only through an extensive, intensive, almost beyond comprehension, the level of concern and care about Torah, only then can a person be truly Makir V'chastei Hashem. It was only when they reached that level, when it was expressed, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Hayom Hevanti, and therefore, I guess it reached that level of appreciation of Torah. It was, you know, when you bring something min hakoyach el hapoyel, it becomes a different commitment. Hayom hazeh niyesolam l'Hashem elokecha. Now I know that you could be leiv, you have leiv lodas today, and ayin naim liroi, so it's naim lishmoa today, lahakir chastei Hashem. We can't be makir the chastei Hashem. Why? Maybe because, you know, the chastei Hashem causes responsibility. When Hashem is mischassid, creates a shibud. I owe him one. And if I don't want to be mishubid, so I don't want to be makir the chesed Hashem. But when I'm in love with his Torah, when I'm in love with his emes, when the emes ha-Torah permeates the entirety of my existence, when there's nothing more in life that I care about other than achieving, reaching, touching, seeing, understanding the emes, now shibu doesn't bother me because that's the emes. The Rambam says that ha'ivid le'avo, the definition, the geder, Rambam at the end of Hilchus Tshuva, I think the 10th parak, says ha'ivid me'avo is oise ho'emes mipnei shehu emes. That's the ultimate Avas Hashem. The ultimate Avas Hashem is I'm doing the emes because it's true. I'm connecting with the truth. I love the truth. I love the source of truth. That's what my life is all about. I suggest that Reb Shia Grudzinski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was a true living example of a love affair with the emes. That passion for emes was in his world, in his way, no less extreme than the passion for Klal Yisrael to be concerned that the future of Torah may not be given to them and that people may deny that they stood at Har Sinai. It was extreme. It was extreme, that concern for Emes. As an individual who could have said Shiurim, and had he said Shiurim, he would have attracted certainly many more Talmidim. No question about it. In fact, we find many Meforshim Sarim, I think Rabbeinu Yonah says it someplace, that the inyan of Chidushim sometimes is in order to attract Talmidim. You want Talmidim to learn, they have to be offering them something, and there is something to it. Because if you're not offering them something, if it's something that they can get on their own, then what do they need the Rebbe for? The teretz is they can't get it on their own. But they have to also be able to see that they can't get it on their own. Because if it's a subtlety in emes that at the end of the day they won't realize that they couldn't get it on their own. So what'd you give me? I could have done it myself. So he sacrificed so much, and nothing bothered him. Nothing concerned him. There was one happiness in life. There was one commitment in life. There was one focus in life. There was the essence of his existence. It was the Amitius HaTorah. Searching for emes. Searching for emes. Everything looking for emes. Literally, yomim v'shonim lahasik dover koton. I thought in my days when I learned with him that I came from the most extreme kvetchers in the world. And kvetching, I don't mean kvetching on language, kvetching on this, but just maybe kvetching the bank, like they say, just sitting and thinking and working until I get it, till I get it, till I get it, till I get it. I saw him, phew, that was a way of life. That's what it was. Now, you know, in terms of internalizing and applying this to our own lives, we have to be careful. You know, we, Baruch Hashem, we have a Mesorah, and Mesorah is a very well thought out and balanced Mesorah. That's the strength of Mesorah, because when you have a Mesorah, you know that it's not any one person, and it's not any one generation, and it's not someone pretty close to me so that I feel comfortable in disputing, but it stems from giants of the past, and it's time hallowed and proven and sanctified by deiros of commitment in Mesiras Nefesh. So we have to internalize these concepts in the context of our Messiah. I don't think that Rabbi Ruben was suggesting that we should throw out the learning of Bikias and sit and learn Iyun all day. Correct? I don't think so. And that wouldn't be appropriate. And for us, it wouldn't work. And you do have to know there's such a thing as diminishing returns. You know, just because someone in the previous generation was able to sit Yomim Bishonim Lahasik Gobel Kotin, that doesn't mean that I could do it. Maybe I could sit Yomim. Or maybe I could sit hours. Or maybe half days for a few hours each day. We have to at least have a concept what it means, that Bakosha Se'emes, what it means a life dedicated to only one thing. What is the Emes of Torah? And this, I believe, you know, Reb Shia got from his great Rebbe Reb Baruch Ber. The Rosh Yeshiva used to be fond of telling the story, you know. Reb Chaim Moiser and the Rosh Yeshiva had good senses of humor. The Baruch Ber was not a humorist by any means. Very serious. Very serious. So one day, Reb Chaim Moiser and Reb Baruch Ber were walking along, and it seems that a brick fell down from someplace and came right by his head like this. Scaled his head. Takes off his hat and shows Reb Chaim Moiser and asks him, "Did the brick hit me?" Anyways, he probably couldn't control his laughter, and he says, "L'may nafkamina." You know, like, what's the difference? If you got to ask me if the brick hit you, like, what do you, what? The nafkamina is if I have to put cold water on it. That was the emes. I have to treat it. He didn't feel it. He didn't know if it happened. But if it did happen, I have to put cold water on it. It's extreme. It's a joke, but it's real. Because that was the tmimus. That was the emesis that I have to put cold water. If a brick hits you, cold water, I don't know what you have to put, ice, something, whatever. You have to do something if a brick hits you. I have no clue whether it hit you. But what about the tmimus of Reb Baruch Ber, the Rebbe, Reb Baruch Ber, who, when he visited America, there's all kinds of interesting stories about him. One of the stories that they tell is he was at some shul dinner. You know, he had to raise money, so he, whatever. So, first they start to sing, they sang the national anthem and Hatikva. So everybody rises, you know, for Hatikva, and he remains seated. Then in the middle of Hatikva, he gets up, stands for a moment, and sits down again. What's going on over here? What is he doing? So someone asked him. So he said, he explained to them the Mahalach HaMachshava. He said, first I thought that I'll stand up, it's Kfira. Then I thought that maybe they'll kill me. So I stood up. Then I said, it's Yehoig Vayavor. I have to sit down. Emes. He wasn't joking, by the way. Emes. 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 That's what it's all about. I think that Reb Shia, to those who knew him, was the semel of that Bakosha So'emes. And I think to whatever degree that we can imbibe a little additional Bakosha So'emes, at this time, especially when we look for so many different schusim, that to be able to rededicate and further dedicate and deepen the dedication and maybe put in a little extra effort at Bakosha So'emes, I'm sure that to us it'll be a great schus and inspiration. And if any of this came in response to reflection on the life of this great Godel, so it certainly will be a schus for his neshama as well. Yehi zichro baruch.